tonight.
Hi, church. I just want to clarify one thing. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I want to clarify one thing. I'm not rough some of the time. I'm rough most of the time. So forgive me when I'm rough. But I want to read this to you. And I think it's so important. And just receive this right now. Begin to prepare your heart for God's word. Nothing I can say can make an impact. There's nothing you can say to me that can make an impact. But when God gets involved, we know the difference between a man and the supernatural. So tonight, we receive the supernatural. If you're with me tonight on that, would you just raise your hand right now? Just say, I receive the supernatural tonight. So let me read this to you. Nothing you can do can make God stop loving you, because his love is not based on who he is, his character. Because his love is based on who he is, his character. It's not on what you do, your conduct. Did you get that? Let me read that to you one more time. Nothing you can do can make God stop loving you, because his love is based on who he is, his character, not what you do, your conduct. Thank you, Lord, for that tonight. So tonight, I want to communicate, I want to share with you, I want to preach, whatever you want to call it, and I want to read to you my reference point of Scripture, and that's kind of how I was brought up in church. You always made reference to a specific Scripture, and you spoke from that. So in that tradition, that's who I am, that's what I believe. I share with you tonight Luke 15:17. Can you get to that? Luke 15:17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Let me read that to you again. Receive this tonight. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Look at your neighbor and say, and he came to himself. Grab the hand of your neighbor. Father, we just ask you tonight for manna from heaven. Father, we acknowledge, we realize that we're nothing without you, that we're empty, we're broken, we're hurting. But God, we realize also that as your Spirit fills your house, that change is made. And God, tonight we just ask by the power of your word and the working of your hand that you'd make the difference that I can't. That you'd make the difference, Father, by your Spirit in this place, and you would change a heart, you'd change a mindset. You'd change a being in this place. Even now as I'm praying, Father, I ask that your Spirit would fill this place and it would become real to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? I'm reading out of Luke, and it's basically a story about the prodigal son. And if you've ever heard the story, and I could read more of it, but I think most of us know the story, and so I'd rather not take the time to read the entire scripture. But the basic story is this. There was two sons and a father. The scripture makes no reference to names. The scripture makes reference to a son, and a son that decided that he was done living at his father's house, that he wanted the inheritance that he felt due, and he went to the father. Are you with me? He went to the father and he said, Dad, I want my inheritance. I would like my part. And just a little funny, something funny to say. I know if I went to my dad and asked my dad that, he'd tell me to get lost. So this dad was a little different. This boy, went to his father, and his father granted him his request. And It's interesting how the storyline starts, and I got something out of this, and every time you read the scripture, you do this tonight when we get done here, go home and read it again, because you'll catch something that I didn't catch, and maybe I've caught something that you've never caught before. But here's what I caught in the scripture. It's interesting that this son, he's got everything he wants. Okay, it's the scripture lays out that he had the servant. He had someone there to wash his feet. He had someone there to prepare his food. He had someone in the house to take care of his laundry. And I'm trying to relate this to how we live and how we move and our being of our culture. He had everything. He lived in a house that was heated. He had no struggle. Chris said he was raised poor. This was not the case with the prodigal son. He had everything he wanted. He was, if he asked the father for something, he granted it to him. And you say, Ryan, how do you know that? I know that because when he went to the father and he asked the father for his inheritance, his father gave it to him. So we know that he wasn't lacking. Why would the son ask for his part of the inheritance? Why not just stay home and receive the gross benefit of what his father had created, his father had worked for? Why not receive from the house he was living in? If you'll stick with me tonight, I'll tell you the Spirit of God, I can feel it so strong even now. He had everything he wanted. It wasn't about the things. It wasn't about the money. And I'm trying to paint a picture to you. It wasn't about him wanting something. He had what he needed. His needs were met. He had everything he desired, except for one thing. And I'm gonna try to get to my notes a little bit here. He wanted one thing, and I think in the culture we live in, I don't think it's that much different. If you look at politicians and you look at people in power, you look at people in business, you look at sons and daughters in homes, you look at our culture. It's so relevant to our culture when people have. And they're not lacking. And you say, well, why did they act this way? Why did they ask for that thing? The answer is this, and I've prayed on this, and everything that I talk about tonight, the Lord's been working on in me. So don't think I'm speaking about anyone else but me. What other people do, I don't gossip about people because I know it's my turn eventually. Do you know what I'm talking about? He was missing one thing, and the one thing he was missing, he wanted the power that his father had. It was greed. He could have anything he wanted, but he wanted it outside of the house. And there's people in this room, and I've watched people over the years, and I've led worship at this church now for 15 years, and I've watched people come and go and worship the worship team, and I've seen people come and go as leaders, as helpers, as people that profess themselves as the corner post of God's kingdom. And they leave for one reason. They want the power. And the interesting thing about that is you won't receive that power. And I'm going to get back to it here in a minute. You won't receive that power almost until you don't even want it. So point number one, be careful not to go outside your covering. And, you know, last night it was interesting. We were at Benny Hinn, and I already had these notes all written out. I've been biting my fingernails and sweating and all of the above for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks about this. But Benny Hinn said the same exact thing last night. Never leave your covering. Never think you're too good. Never think that you got it all together where you can't have somebody pull you in the back room or put the mic down while you're taking an offering and tell you this is the way that this works. And be careful who that person is in your life. But point number one, be careful not to go outside your covering. There's people that have come to this church, and I've watched them in leadership, and they've excelled. They've done awesome things. They've helped change lives. But all of a sudden, they lost that desire to serve, and they gained a desire to be seen. And they lost their anointing. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. So the scripture says that he divided his wealth between both brothers. And I want to say something about that, because I never noticed that in the scripture until I really dug into it. Do you know that when the father gave the prodigal son his inheritance, he not only gave his portion to him, he gave it to the other brother. Did anybody know that? I didn't know that. Read the scripture. That's what it says. It's not what I say. He gave the inheritance to both brothers. One brother decided to stay at home. Huh. One brother decided to keep the covering that he had. And the other brother decided to step outside that. And I will say this. You can stay blessed and step outside the covering. What do you mean, Ryan? It's contradiction. How do you get outside the covering and be blessed? You'll only be blessed for a season. You'll keep what you have. You'll retain what you have for a season. You can mess up a whole lot and step outside that covering, but I'm going to tell you, you better know when to step back into the covering, because you'll lose your inheritance. Point number two. Some can handle the wealth and the blessing without acting crazy, and some can't. There's people, and I've watched it, and I don't say a lot. If you know me, I mean, when I come in here, I don't get razzed over much, but I do watch people, and when people go ahead and get blessed, they get 10 cents in their pocket. They go from the $20 shirt to the $50 shirt. They start to act different. They start to shake your hand with three fingers instead of with their whole hand. They start to look and talk. When someone says hello to them, they look back and they just stare. And then they leave service and they say, I'm not going to that church because people are rude to me. Some people can handle God's blessing and some people can't. Write it down. The brother stayed a while. The prodigal son stayed a while. And then he left. And I want to make reference in, if you want me to be more specific, you can see me after service, but there's a scripture in Revelation, and this will be my second point of reference tonight. And I'm moving along here. Dad, when I got like 8 minutes, can you just tell me? Because I can't see the clock. You asked me, I can't. I got 14 minutes, okay. There's a scripture, there's a reference in Revelation, and God talks about the doctorate, the god of Balaam. Check it out. It's in there. Balaam basically was a doctorate in the book of Revelation, and it was sorcery, it was cursing. It was hex, it was, and someone spoke about it not too long ago. Oh, Carol Carnacki did. It just came to me. It's very similar to this. And check the scripture, Balaam. And the doctorate of Balaam sent Balak to the children of Israel, and they kept pulling stuff out, sorcery and on and on and on, all types of cursing. But the warlock could not find a hex that could curse the children of Israel. And now I'm going to switch back to the book of Luke, and I'm going to talk about the prodigal son. But I wanted to give you that because when we talk about people leaving the covering, when you're blessed, the enemy can't curse you. Chris, as you give, as you sow your life into this ministry, people will watch you be blessed, and the enemy will chase you on your heels. You turn around, every time you turn around, it'll be there. Every time. It'll be there whether you do give, whether you don't. Whether you do serve, whether you don't. You might as well serve and be blessed and run from it that way. But that's what this prodigal son struggled with. When the enemy can't use sorcery, when he can't use hex, when he can't use curses because he knows you're blessed, he'll send a spirit of restlessness. And the church is struggling with this right now. Everybody's got the people who got a house don't want a house. The people who got kids don't want kids. The people who are married don't want to be married. The single people are watching the people that are married saying, I'll take him. It's a spirit of restlessness. And church, if you hear anything I say tonight, the church needs to pray against a spirit of restlessness. I watch people week after week. They come in late in a rush. They come in late in a rush. They don't come in early in a rush. They come in late in a rush. And I hope you don't mind me being blunt tonight, but it's just who I am. And then when service is over, they're the first one grabbing their bag and running out the door. They're in a rush to get in here. They're in a rush to get out of here. They're in a rush to get to the restaurant. They're in a rush to get out of the restaurant. They're in a rush to buy the house. They're in a rush to sell the house. They're in a rush to get into a marriage, and they're in a rush to get out. A restless spirit. And I will say this, and I might upset you right now, but it's not even something to clap about. It's a spirit. The church. Chuck, Lenny, Larry, Dad, need to pray over that. It's a spirit of restlessness. Amen? Amen. Point number three. I'm going to bring you out of all this. Okay? I'm going to bring you out of it. Just stick with me. Point number three. You can still be blessed and go through hell. You can still be blessed and go through high water. People always come out that are blessed people. Well, you say, who are the blessed people? I'm getting there. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up. The test of your life will come. Amen? Point number four. The devil knows you're blessed, and he must get you out of your blessed place. What's your best blessed place? Here's what God gave me. Three blessed places. And I'm going to blow through this. You want this. There's three blessed places in your life. The sanctity of marriage. If you're not married, sorry. It's not for you. Not yet. There's three blessed places. The sanctity of marriage, it's your shelter. It's not for a lot of people. It's not your shelter, but it is. It should be. Number two, your ministry. And that's a big one. People pop in and pop out, and I could go on and on about that. But you know who you are, and you know the way you think, and I'm trying to get it through to you just a little bit here tonight. And Nathaniel, you know why you led worship tonight? Because I know my dad. You know why? Because you haven't had a restless spirit. You haven't been on my heels. I got to lead worship. I got to lead worship. I got to have the mic. I got to preach. You don't have a restless spirit. You have a content spirit. You're fine with serving. You're the first person I thought of this on that. Them are the kind of people I want to hang out with. Number two, your ministry. Number one, your marriage. Number two, your ministry. Number three, your dream and your mission. What's your mission? Don't get out of them three things. You get out of them three things, you'll lose your blessing. You say, well, Ryan, well, where's giving in that? That's your ministry. If your ministry is giving, give. Chris, you give, but giving, it's not your ministry. Right now, giving's my ministry. The business people in this place, it's their ministry to give. Somebody ought to amen me in this place. Some people have the unique ability to be able to give money, and it don't mean a thing to them. 10% could be $10,000, and you and I look at it like, wow, and they look at it like, eh, it's 10 grand, right? Number five, the only way the enemy can with them three things in mind, the only way the enemy can curse you is if you curse yourself. And there's people in this place, you've cursed yourself. Don't worry about others' opinions. People can fight others, but they can't fight their own mind. You can watch people. It's amazing to me. And, oh, dear Lord, have I been there. I have been there. And someday I'll share it with you. You're deceived in your own mind. Nobody can tell you any different about anything. You know what I'm talking about. You know you're wrong. And, yeah, I'm not wrong. Let me just pretend church and all that. Don't curse yourself. Being discontent, it is part of that, okay? Let me move on here quick. Stay in your blessed places. The prodigal son left his house, and he left his blessed place. He'd have been fine. Take the money, take the inheritance, stick it in with dad, right? Dad, I'd consider that. Money, I stick around. Stay in your blessed place. You can only live with a restless spirit for so long, like the prodigal son did, and then you'll be on the brink of losing your anointing, your joy, your peace. There is three blessed places. Don't leave them. So, I'm gonna say this to you. If that's where you are tonight, if you've been restless, when I was speaking that, I felt such a draw on that. And you say, well, you know us, you know how we act and this and that. I don't know. He came to himself. Maybe tonight you're here and you need to come to yourself. Maybe you know you've had a restless spirit. Maybe you know you've had a spirit of discontentment. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm that guy, okay? Buy a car, need a different one. Buy a house, need a different one. I'm just starting, right, Sam? Just starting to slow that down a little bit. So if you're, thank you, Jesus, my dad says, like, whatever. He says, thank you, Jesus. It might have been a close call. You might be so far like the prodigal son was. He was feeding the swine. He was so hungry. Read the scripture. The scripture says that he grabbed a corn husk and he contemplated eating it. And make reference to yourself. You might be so close. You might be in the pig's pen and you might have the corn husk right up to your face. It might be something different. You might be on the verge of making just a stupid decision. And again, I'm the king of them, but don't do it. Wait, stop. Think it through. Leave that spirit of restlessness behind. You know what the incredible thing was? He was still royalty when he was in that pig's pen. He was still the son of that father. He went home and his father accepted him. You know the story. He got a ring and he got the fatted calf and he told the servants, go get a robe for my son. He's home. He was once dead. Now he's alive. And God's saying that to someone in this place, and it might not click tonight. I felt the Lord say that to me. It might not click tonight. It might not, in your mind, you might not go, oh, that's me. But in a week from now, in a month from now, in a year from now, the Spirit of God will bring you back to this moment. And you'll say, that was me. I almost lost it all. I almost ruined it. I almost gave it all up. I almost ended up in the swine. I almost ended up homeless. I almost smoked that joint again. I almost drank that drink again. I almost went back. But it was the grace, it was the mercy of God that stopped me when I picked the corn husk up. I almost put it to my mouth. And the scripture says, and he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I will perish with hunger? And I want to say one more thing. You know what the church is bad at? Church is bad at accepting people back. We were talking about that the other day. You got to accept people back. People say stupid things, don't they? They approach you in church and they say stupid things. They offend you. 90% of the time it's misunderstandings, isn't it? They get so far out, they leave, and it might be all them. It might not be anything to do with you. It might be all them. And when they come back, and when they get to that point where they're so burned out, and God says, go back and see Pastor Marty. Go back and see Pastor Larry. You didn't go too far. People come back, and you know what we do? Pastor Larry doesn't do it. I know it. You know what we do? Stay away from me. Sit in the back corner. There's folding chairs in the back. And that's what this boy's brother did. He got back. And a lot of times it is family, isn't it? You think of that family member who's away from them, maybe not coming to church like they should be. You better go find them this week. You convicted right now? Like I was when I read this? Wasn't I, Nathan? You better go find them this week and bring them back. You don't want to be responsible for their soul, do you? He changed his mind at the last minute. And you might be here tonight, and I'm closing with this. Would you close your eyes and bow your head? If something I've said tonight, if that's you tonight, the Spirit of God has been tugging on your heart since the minute I started speaking. Before you even knew what I was preaching about, before you even heard a word come out of my mouth, the Spirit of God began to work. Because I've been praying for you. I believe it started last night. And you know, you got to be in God's house to receive it. You can go tell anybody you want about this message. They weren't here to receive it. Bring the people to God's house so they can receive the word. This place should be packed on Sunday for God's word. But tonight is your night. You can't do anything about them tonight. Maybe tomorrow. But tonight is your night. Make the change. You've gone too far. You're in the pig's pen. You're almost on the edge of being homeless. Your marriage is almost blown up. Stop. Tell the devil tonight. Listen to me when I say this. This is the supernatural right now. Tell the devil tonight, I changed my mind. If you feel a tug on your spirit right now when I said that, tell the devil I changed my mind. And that attaches to your spirit. Just lift your hand right now. God, we give you glory in your house. I'm not gonna make an altar call. So don't even, if that's why you're not raising your hand, raise your hand. I'm not going to call you down to the front. The hands start popping up all over the place. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on every spirit in this place. Bring change, bring impact, bring healing where only you can. And Father God, we'll give you the glory for it. We'll give you the praise for it. Father, I pray that there's no flesh glory in your sight in this place, but all the glory goes to you, Father. Father of honor and righteousness, we give you thanks. We give you praise tonight for what you've done. and for what you're doing. Tell the devil, church, that you changed your mind. Amen.